Paulette, I just want to begin by thanking you so much for agreeing to speak to me. I know you haven't done any interviews since this happened, and it's very difficult to talk about this. Can I just ask you, first of all, how yourself and your boys have been since August?
The reality, I think, is definitely kicked in the last 3-4 months. You know, you've been kept busy, but devastated is the only word, because our whole world has been turned upside down. This was larger than life. He was the life and soul of this house. He was very good to the boys. He was a great father. He had them on loads of adventures. He was very adventurous. Muriel, on the other hand, she nearly lived with us. She was on the phone so often, 4 or 5 times a week on WhatsApp, and every opportunity she got, she came to Ireland to visit her brothers and her nieces and nephews, and they were a very close family, you know, and to lose two of them in the one day was just absolutely, the rug was pulled from under us, and life is never ever going to be the same again for us.
And can I ask you about your boys? You have Josh, who lives with you, and Dean, whom I understand is heading away soon.
Heading away. Dean got his placement in college the day after Des passed away. On the 5th of August, he got acceptance into the university in Athlone. And he's going away on a J1 on the 17th of May until September, which was the plan, which was what Dad wanted. They'd spoken about it. And Josh then has just turned 14. Josh has Down syndrome, finding it very, very difficult to understand why Dad isn't coming home.
Yeah.
You know, Christmas time, I think he expected Christmas morning, because he'd asked Santa to ask Dad to come and visit him just one more time. And clearly, Christmas morning was very hard, because he searched the house and he went outside, and, you know, he was very angry. Josh is he has post-traumatic stress disorder, which we're treating. We have him in counselling now. And it's really only now that he's talking about Dad, that he's saying, Dad used to say this, and do you remember Dad done this, Mum? And, you know, and nightmares at night, you know, he'd be stretching and twisting and turning. He has a respiratory condition, so he uses a BiPAP machine at night, and he's been on that since he was born. He has breathing issues that his airways just seem to close in when he sleeps. So since he was about 3 weeks old, he's been on a BiPAP machine, and attends Crumlin quite regular. But the loss of Des, Josh lost his best friend.
You were telling me before they did everything together, Paulette, the two of them.
Everything. Everything. You know, if Des was going only to get diesel in the van, Josh had to be with him. If they cycled together, they swam together, they went skiing together. Our last family holiday was 2019. His big dream was to bring Josh to Disneyland, and he actually got to do it. We done that in 2019. And then, thankfully, it was last year, the 1st of April, Josh's confirmation was a big, big deal for Des, because he was just so proud that we had him in a mainstream school. And, you know, he got on very well with people. And Josh is the copy Des in his characteristics, because he's a great sense of humour and, you know, wicked sense of humour at times, but he's struggling to understand. I pick up my phone some days and I can see calls when he's playing games on my phone sometimes. I can see where Josh is trying to phone Des.
Yeah.
You know, I can see Des's number appearing on my phone, and I know that it's Josh trying to ring him and trying to say, Mam, why isn't Dad answering his phone? Or initially, he used to be very upset when he seen the van came back up from Ballybunion, and he was so angry. He kept telling me, if I left the van in Ballybunion, Dad might have found a way home.
Yeah.
His understanding of death is not, you know, he doesn't understand the forever. It's,
yeah. Can I bring you to the inquest, because that only happened last month, and yes. It must have been incredibly difficult to sit there in the courthouse in Listowel and hear the details all over again.
And what we heard on the inquest is both people died of accidental drowning due to the rip.
There was no question of either of them having heart attacks, which was speculated about.
No. Both of them were in their full health. Heart, liver, lungs. I have the reports from the coroner. They were fitter than fit.
Very
strong swimmers.
Yeah.
Very strong. Muriel swam 365 days. Muriel got into the water every day of her life in Sweden. She was so fit. I mean, she was 63 years of age in July, and she didn't look a bit of it.
So the conclusion was accidental drowning, and there were some questions raised about the number of lifeguards on duty on the day, and the inquest heard, in fact, that they were short a number on that particular day on the 4th of August.
Correct. My understanding on the day was that there was 4 lifeguards. There was 2 of them on Ladies Beach and a young guy on Men's Beach. And there was a young girl, which I didn't meet or see, in the watch out. Is there a hut or
yeah, there's a lifeguard's hut.
Yes, so she was there. There was 2 other lifeguards on Ladies Beach. We were led to believe at the inquest that they knew there was a rip or occurrence that day. And we were told that there was somebody with a whistle avoiding people going into that water. You know, all the precaution. But if there was a person there stopping people going into that water, it's raising a question in my head as to why they weren't there when Des and Muriel and Josh got into it.
Because
there was only 4 lifeguards. 2 lifeguards apparently rang in sick. Was there no replacement people to take, to come in to fill the void? I mean, you're talking August. It wasn't as if it was February, March, April. It's high season. And to be short 2 lifeguards on such a big beach.
I think it actually came out that they were short 4 lifeguards on the day. That's what came out in the reports that were in the newspapers. Okay. And Paulette, there's no way that Desi and Muriel would have got into the water if there was anyone blowing
Absolutely.
A whistle.
Jesus, not a hope. The Hudson Bay Hotel is up the road from us, and we're members of that. And Des could be there 3 or 4 nights a week, and more so in the winter, you know, because it was so damp and cold. He'd actually swim more in the winter, and he was a member of a cycle club. So he cycled in the summer. He was skiing every year. He was the fittest. He was just so outdoor. He'd never be in the house. He was an outdoor person. He was adventurous. He loved adventure. He loved nature. He loved everything. Anytime he was asked to help people out, he would be the first one there.
And Paulette, on the day, and I know you weren't there, I wasn't there, and a lot of this is speculation, but you reckon, and in fact the coroner, Helen Lucy, reiterated this, that the story could have been an awful lot worse because Josh was also in the water, only for the quick thinking of a young lad.
A young guy. We knew Josh was in the water, but what Josh initially told us in the week, you know, when I collected them from the hospital, he was all talk. "Mom, I'm sorry, I couldn't help Dad. Mom, I tried to reach Dad." And it was very hard because to listen to that story all the way back from Curry that Friday morning. And I just said, "It's okay, Josh, you know, it's, you're doing your best and we're so proud of you," and, you know, blah. And he said, "Mom," he was just there. I could see him coming and I couldn't reach him, but I didn't realize Josh was actually in that rip. And a young guy called Rory Walsh saved Josh's life, because the coroner even said it's nothing short of a miracle that we got Josh back.
Yeah, because
The miracle is Rory.
Rory's a strong swimmer, and he saw that that Josh was struggling and kind of kept an eye on him and got him to go in.
Yes, absolutely. But then I think Rory was kind of wondering, why was Josh going in there? And it was Rory who noticed that Jez's body was floating, that he's seen. And he alerted his dad, and from what I can recall, his aunt. And both of them walked in, and arm in arm, they took Jez out of the water, but it was too late. From what we're hearing, Jez could have been 20 minutes or a half an hour even deceased before he was taken out of the water. I mean, how could nobody see that happening? And then the Gardaí said they assumed it was just Jez and Josh until they found a third pair of shoes. And in the third pair of shoes was the lady's watch. And in the bag was lady's garments. And then they raised the alarm that there was another casualty. Whereas from what my understanding is, they didn't think there was another casualty until they found the third pair of shoes. And then Muriel was found 10 minutes later, but she was 100 yards out further and submerged. Again, CPR failed. She was gone. She was also gone.
And the people who were on the scene, I happen to know some of them because I'm from Ballybunion, as you know, Paulette, and they did everything they could.
Absolutely everything. I spoke to a doctor. I can't recall the lady's name. She was a pure lady.
Dr. Myra Fitzpatrick, yeah.
Yes, she told me. We went down a week later just to have a memorial, just to get a kind of a clear picture of where this happened and how this could happen, because they lived for adventure. If there was warnings and flags and people saying, don't go there, you know, that's a no zone. 110%, they would never, ever have got into that water. I wasn't there. I'm not a witness. I don't know, was there flags up? I don't know, was that person? But who would that person be stopping people going into the water if there was two on ladies' beach, one on men's beach, and a girl in the hut? So who was the fifth person if there was only four lifeguards on duty? 37 weeks have passed last Thursday since we lost them, and it's just like yesterday. I never, ever want to see a family have to endure and put up with what we had to go through, because there is no end to it. There's no answers. It's this inquest in my head has brought us all back, and it's actually raised more questions than answers. Like, we weren't told that Josh was in that rip. Young Rory, he done all the signal. He done everything he could to get help. He signalled. He rose his board over his head. He done everything. Nobody seen him. Only one man who knew what he meant. And he came back down onto the beach to see could he help, because he knew there was trouble.
Would you like to see, for example, more lifeguards, more information about rip currents? 100%.
Like, if they knew that day there was a rip current, which apparently they did, why was that area unmanned? Why was there nobody left there to stop these people from entering that area of the water? Because I know there is no way Jez would have brought Josh in there, or himself or his sister. And they would have known, with red flags and signs, like, they're not silly people. They swam. They were strong swimmers. They knew exactly, you know, they knew more about the water than I did. But he never ignored a warning sign, ever.
You would like to see more measures put in place?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, do something. Put permanent signs there in that area. Warn people of the dangers that it has caused, not that could happen. The fatalities is unreal. I was there last Thursday night before the inquest, last Thursday week. We went down and I met up with Garda Pádraig Ryan, and he showed me exactly where the accident happened, and it was just so emotional. There was children running in at that time of the evening, and I just thought, oh my God, there's not even a lifeguard. Now I know it's only April, but there was children playing, and I just said to him, look at this, look at these children running in and out of the water. It's not right. You know, why was that area, someone said to me before that they had it closed off for a period of time, or they had lifebuoys or something.
Yeah.
There was nothing. There was nothing there.
On the day?
Nothing.
Okay.
No, I wasn't there. I'm not a witness. This is what I've been told from people that were there. And I mean, the poor guy, the lifeguard that was there.
You're not pointing the finger of blame at him.
100%.
Yeah.
I am not blaming or pointing. This has happened. It's very unfortunate it's happened. All I want is never, ever to have any family or person have to go through what we are suffering and still suffering, and will always just have to carry this through life with us. I mean, the 37 weeks and 2 days gone. And it's just like yesterday. It's so hard. It's so hard to try and explain to Josh. Now, we have him in counselling. We're hoping it's going to, you know, make him understand the reality of the forever. And he visits Des' grave with me, but the anger. And,
yeah,
you know, Des' aunt passed away in December as well. And, you know, he whispered to Kathleen when she passed away, he was very fond of her, and he just said, when you get to heaven, will you tell my daddy I love him and I miss him, and please ask him to give me a ring sometime.
To give him a ring from heaven?
Give me a call. Give me a call sometime.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, the poor lad. That's his understanding.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You know, but then... Excuse me, I'm so sorry.
You're fine, Paulette. You're doing great.
I find it very difficult to talk about this because every day especially when you go through things and you have decisions to make, he would advise, Muriel would advise me. She was like a sister to me. She was on that phone every time. She was on an airplane more times coming over to see us. And she was just full of life. They were both inseparable. There was a bond. She kind of mothered him, I think, in, you know, she moved to Sweden when she done her Leaving Cert in Ireland about 17, 18 years of age as an au pair. And she continued her career over there, and she became kind of a social worker and married and settled, and she's about 43, 44 years. She's in Sweden a long, long time.
Yeah, and she leaves a son behind, is that right?
John. She left John behind. John is 41 years of age. And her first grandson, Liam, which she absolutely adored. And the plan was Liam was coming to Ireland with her this year.
Yeah.
In August. John is finding it really, really difficult. Because his dad had motor neurons, and he was in care while Muriel was over here for those 2 weeks, and subsequently Chris passed away on the 26th of December, which was 20 weeks to when Muriel and Des had. So he's lost both parents
in a short space of time,
and he's just the poor guy is lost,
devastated, lost. As you all are.
Absolutely, he couldn't attend the inquest. But he did visit me this weekend, and he'd be back then for August for the anniversary. And, you know, we visit Ballybunion, but I'm hoping to try and get something in place, a memorial bench or something. Now, I have been in contact with Kerry County Council, but I'm still waiting a reply.
What would you like to?
What I can do.
Yeah, what would you like to get?
Well, in Sweden, when we went over to Chris's funeral, her colleagues and friends put a bench where they swam with her name and her memorial, and you know, that's her bench, kind of. If we could do the same thing around that area where Des and Muriel passed, or a stone in a wall or something, just a memorial of where they spent their last hours, you know, it's just something for us to go and visit maybe every year. Because now, I haven't taken Josh back to Ballybunion, But my intention is to try and bring him this year.
Yeah.
Because his fear of the beach is unreal.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah. And he's very anxious, you know, when I'm driving. And he'll say, "Mum, please slow down because something happens to you. It's just me and Dean, Mum, please don't," you know. And you wouldn't be driving fast. He's just
traumatized.
He's very traumatized.
Yeah.
Extremely traumatized.
Paulette, we better let you go. Look,
okay.
Thank you. I can't imagine how difficult it's been to drag it all up again, but I know you felt very strongly you wanted the message to go out there. And
just never let this happen to another family. Never. But to the people and the strangers all over Ireland, not just Ballybunion, but Ballybunion have been huge support. There's beautiful, good people down there. But to people all over Ireland that sent cards and letters and messages, strangers, people I've never met, hundreds and hundreds of cards came in the door. We were overwhelmed with the response from the public, and we are absolutely indebted to the Walsh family for the rest of our lives for what they did.
That's Rory's family.
Rory's family and his father and his aunt that like tucked us out of that water. It could not have been easy for them. But I mean, that child, I mean, that could not have been easy for him to witness either. While we're going through it, we have to understand the people that were involved and try to help that day and done their best. I'm sure they've gone through a couple of bad weeks there too. You know, it's just never ending. It is never ending, Deirdre. It's, I think, as the time is going on and the loss is much, much more felt, it's getting very, very difficult.
Paulette,
just please prevent another family having to go through what the Byrne family and us are going through at the moment. If that could happen, that would be what we want out of this.